Evan Kleinman, and this is Good Food on the Road with Jonathan Gold, Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer for the LA Times. So, Mr. Gold, where are you taking us this week?
It's a new restaurant called Vespertine, which I think I can confidently say is the most extreme restaurant in the world right now. We're lucky to have it right here in Culver City. I usually go more than a couple of times, but it's really expensive.
500 a person?
It's a 250 base, and then you add tax and you add the tip, and then beverages are on top of that. So the juice pairing is 70, and I think the wine pairing is 200.
So much has been made of the fact that it's this Eric Owen Moss building, as many buildings are in that area of Culver City, that's kind of latticey and undulating to the sky. How does the meal start?
It's almost less talking about the meal than it is talking about the experience, because I think that more than any restaurant I've ever been to, it's almost impossible to isolate the actual things you eat from the actual environment that you're eating it in. So you get there, you're greeted by name by the guy parking the cars, which is sometimes disconcerting. You're ushered to a lobby, you go up an elevator, which opens into the kitchen, at which, you know, Jordan...
Chef Jordan Kahn.
Jordan has greeted you. You go up another flight of stairs to this, like an aerie or an eagle's nest, or this place up at the top that's all glassed in. You can see all the way from the Malibu Mountains to the San Gabriel Mountains downtown. You see the metro train going through the skyline over the big bridge, like something out of that movie Her a couple of years ago. It's futurist Los Angeles.
I have to ask you, is this initial experience meant to punctuate the difference from your regular life into this liminal space in which you find yourself for a few hours?
It could be. I mean, the entire restaurant has a very minimal soundtrack. You have the ceramic vessels by a Japanese sculptor. The first one may be like white Asiatic dayflower petals. Do you know what an Asiatic dayflower is?
No.
I don't either. But there are these petals, and they're arranged in sort of the shape of a torch blossom on top of a sliver of ripe Japanese melons that's been smeared with salted plum jam. When you finish that, a waitress like flips it. On the bottom side, there's bougainvillea leaves. Did you know you could eat bougainvillea leaves?
I had no idea.
I had no idea either. But they're like glued with a gel of beets and Concord grapes inside a cavity underneath. Somebody shows up with this, I guess it's a pottery arch. All of this is like black, pebbly, super dense. And eventually somebody brings a black hoop that fits into it. Inside that hoop, there's a hoop made of, I guess, a big toasted kelp chip shaped into a circle that's glued to it with sort of a salty cream.
While you're experiencing this, are you hearing exclamations of surprise by other people, or is it a hush?
It's pretty hushed. I think in the first few months, and this may change, people didn't know what to expect. And when somebody comes to your table and they put down something that looks like the monolith from 2001, except there's a notch cut out of it, and inside the notch is cured mango that has been sort of laminated with sunflower petals, you don't know what to make of it, right? It's completely different from anything outside your experience.
So then when you finally go downstairs, does the progression of dishes become anything more familiar?
No. In fact, the first dish that you're given after that is, I guess, flounder. Sometimes he calls it like weird flounder, or harame would be the Japanese thing. It's a flatfish. I think it's pounded. It's dyed absolutely jet black with burnt onion. When you first get it in its black bowl, it looks like an empty bowl. You can't tell that there's anything inside of it. You almost wonder for a second what you're supposed to do. Then you sort of tap and you figure out that it's fleshy and you break through it and there's like a porridge underneath. The idea is you don't really know what you're eating.
So is this an Emperor Has No Clothes experience, or is this a kind of fascinating art project?
Well, it's perfect. I mean, every effect that they're trying for, they achieve. The cooking doesn't slip. You never say, oh, this is overcooked or this is undercooked or what are they doing combining pea ice with smoked bone marrow. It all works in the way it's supposed to work, I think. But I think it's also supposed to keep you off guard. For example, there's that dish of like smoked bone marrow with braised leek hearts, which I swear I didn't know were leek hearts. They didn't taste like leeks. They didn't crunch like leeks. I thought it was actually eggplant because it was much softer than that. There was a plum broth or a broth that was inflected by umeboshi, the Japanese pickled apricot they call plums. There was a sprinkling of herbs over the top, one of which was wormwood leaves.
Which is the stuff that was in absinthe that used to make people go crazy.
Right, or was rumored to make people go
right.
crazy. Have you ever tasted wormwood leaf?
Isn't it one of the most bitter substances on the planet?
It is so insanely bitter. I had no idea what it was. Anyway, the idea that you're eating an herb that you've never had that's so powerful on top of taste that you have had just sort of skews something. There was like an orange smear on that dish, and I thought it was chicken liver, but it might have been pureed mussels, and it could have been foie gras, and it was so changed from what it had originally been that all you knew is that you didn't know what it was.
I mean, this is a very, very particular restaurant, obviously, when you say it's the most extreme restaurant right now in the world. Is it important that this place exists?
I think it's really important. I mean, Los Angeles has not had restaurants like this before. That as good as the food in Los Angeles is, and we both agree it's some of the best cooking in the world, we've never had anything that even sort of like sniffed at the upper end of the world's best restaurant thing. And this sort of might, because it's playing in a different league. Is it necessary to go to art exhibitions? Is it necessary to go to the opera? I think it's something that anybody who really cares about food or probably cares about art should experience.
That's LA Times food critic Jonathan Gold talking about Vespertine in Culver City. Text the words good food to 69866 to get Jonathan's weekly restaurant recommendations.